Thank the Lord Jesus Christ, who died on the cross for me. I'm glad today that I'm in Him, that I'm covered with His righteousness. I was going to speak on the subject of how can a man be justified, but our brother has done a very good job of talking about that today. So I'm going to enter into another area. I would like for you to turn in your Bibles to Hebrews chapter 13. Hebrews chapter 13, and we will look at verse 4. Shall we look to the Lord in prayer? Heavenly Father, I thank You today for Your grace. Thank You, Lord, for this beautiful day that You've given us to live in. And Lord, we thank You for salvation. Lord, I pray as I speak this morning that I might speak with clarity. And Lord, might I speak in words simple enough that even the most simple can believe it, and or see it at least, and not be ignorant about what's being spoken. I pray that this might be done through Your Spirit working in me. I pray, Heavenly Father, that as we look into Your Word, that truly today we would have a vision of Your holiness. Lord, that we as Your people might desire to walk in holiness. Lord, we understand that it is Your grace that teaches us to deny ungodliness and worldly lusts. And Lord, we realize that Your law is perfect, it's holy and just, and that through the law we see our sin and need of the Savior. I pray, Heavenly Father, that You would teach us today through Your Holy Spirit. For it's in Jesus' name I pray. Amen. In Hebrews 13:4, we read, marriage is honorable in all, and the bed undefiled, but whoremongers and adulterers God will judge. In Proverbs 29:18, we read that where there's no vision, the people perish. But he that keepeth the law, happy is he. Oh, how in our nation today people are perishing. Our foundations of this country was founded on the law of God. And we see that when a people depart from the law, they perish or they run wild. And what a nation we have become, a people running wild to their destruction. No matter what the numerality of our day may try to claim, sex was God's idea, not theirs. God established the marriage relationship, including sex. And He has given us clear instructions in the Holy Scriptures concerning the use of sex as it was intended. To use this wonderful gift from God in any other way desecrates it and brings misery and destruction to the violator. Oh, if we just think about it today, I remember in my youth, there was only about two or three at the most venereal diseases or sexually transmitted diseases as they use today. They were syphilis and gonorrhea, as I remember. And do you know today that there are 30, mind me, that there's that many diseases, they're connected with the sex, well, the immorality that we've got today. And let me tell you this, of those which are viruses, you got them for the rest of your life. You're not going to get away from them. Now, let's see the instructions that God gives. First of all, we see here in Hebrews 13:4, that marriage is that which God approves. Marriage is honorable in all. That's saved and unsaved alike. It's honorable in all.
That's right.
And the bed is undefiled. In other words, sex is undefiled. Right. It's not dirty. In marriage, it's not dirty. That's where God intended it.
Amen. Amen. Amen, brother.
But whoremongers and adulterers, God will judge.
Right.
You come under the judgment of God when you depart from that precepts that God has set down.
Amen.
And we see in Genesis chapter 2, let's turn back to Genesis chapter 2, that God instituted marriage. Genesis chapter 2 and verse 24, therefore shall a man leave his father and his mother and shall cleave unto his wife, and they shall be one flesh. And they both were naked, and the man and his wife, and were not ashamed. God instituted marriage, and it's through this intimate relationship that the earth is to be populated, as we see in Genesis chapter 1 and verse 27. So God created man in his own image. In the image of God created he him. Male and female created he them. And God blessed them and said unto them, be fruitful and multiply and replenish the earth and subdue it and have dominion over the fish of the sea and over the fowl of the air and over every living thing that moveth upon the earth. It's through the marriage relationship that the earth is populated. You know, it's kind of strange. People don't want to populate the earth anymore. But it's God's command that it be done. Also, it was reinstated after the flood, Genesis chapter 9, in verse 1. And God blessed Noah and his sons and said unto them, be fruitful and multiply and replenish the earth. Certainly through marriage then that we populate the world. And we say, well, is there any rules regarding sex within marriage? I'm trying to be plain this morning. I don't want us to go away today being ignorant of what God says about the subject. We've got to permeate it all over our society today. There isn't any place you can't turn where sex is mentioned. In fact, it's become a god. Let's look at 1 Corinthians chapter 7, and we'll see some rules there in marriage. 1 Corinthians chapter 7. And this look beginning with verse 4. The wife hath not power over her own body. Let's read that, wives. You don't have power over your own body. But the husband, and likewise. Now, see, you can't say, well, it's just one-sided. No, Likewise, also the husband hath not power over his own body, but the wife.
Amen.
Now, what's the limitation here? Verse 5, defraud ye not one the other. Got to hold back. You already enjoy sex in marriage. Except it be for consent for a time, that you may give yourselves to fasting and prayer and come together again, that Satan tempt you not for your inconsistency.
Amen, brother.
So we see, do not withhold sexual favors except for short periods of time by agreement. Now that's plain. We don't have to wonder about it. This is God's word. This is what He is telling us. Now, let's think about marriage in sex that is disallowed. And here we come to where we see what's disallowed. Turn with me back to Leviticus chapter 18. You say, well, you're going back into the Old Testament. Well, it's all God's Word. And it was given for our teaching of what's right and what is wrong. So we want to see what is right or wrong today. Leviticus chapter 18 and verse 6. None of you shall approach to any that is near of kin to him to uncover their nakedness. I am the Lord. The nakedness of thy father or the nakedness of thy mother shalt thou not uncover. She is thy mother. Thou shalt not uncover her nakedness. The nakedness of thy father's wife shalt thou not uncover. It is thy father's nakedness. The nakedness of thy sister, the daughter of thy father, or the daughter of thy mother, whether she be born at home or born abroad, even their nakedness thou shalt not uncover. The nakedness of thy son's daughter, of thy daughter's daughter, even their nakedness shalt thou not uncover, for theirs is their own nakedness. The nakedness of thy father's wife's daughter, begotten of thy father, she is thy sister, thou shalt not uncover her nakedness. Thou shalt not uncover the nakedness of thy father's sister, she is thy father's near kinswoman. Thou shalt not uncover the nakedness of thy mother's sister, for she is thy mother's near kinswoman. Thou shalt not uncover the nakedness of thy father's brother. Thou shalt not approach to his wife. She is thine aunt. Thou shalt not uncover the nakedness of thy daughter-in-law. She is thy son's wife. Thou shalt not uncover her nakedness. Thou shalt not uncover the nakedness of thy brother's wife. It is thy brother's nakedness. Thou shalt not uncover the nakedness of a woman and her daughter, neither shalt thou take her son's daughter or her daughter's daughter to uncover her nakedness, for they are her near kinswomen. It is wickedness. Neither shalt thou take a wife to her sister to vex her, to uncover her nakedness beside the other in her lifetime. Thou shalt not approach unto a woman to uncover her nakedness as long as she is set apart for her uncleanness. Moreover, thou shalt not lie carnally with thy neighbor's wife to defile thyself with her. Now we see here the rules concerning sex. In other words, incest is disallowed. And oh, how that's reeking through our country today. You're not to have relationships with your father or your mother, your father's wife, even if she is not your mother, a sister, not even though she is a half-sister, a granddaughter, an aunt, an uncle, a daughter-in-law, a sister-in-law, a woman and her daughter, and not two sisters while one is alive. Now, having looked at the subject of incest, Let's look at some other sexual relationships that are disallowed. Let's go to verse 22. And we had a president said he looked through the scriptures and he couldn't find this. Verse 22. Thou shalt not lie with mankind as with womankind. It is abomination. In other words, homosexuality, the same sex as you are. Oh, how terrible it is. And how it's rampant in our country today also. Another one, and this one, even makes me sick to think about it. Bestiality. Verse 23, neither shalt thou lie with any beast to defile thyself wherewith, neither shall any woman stand before a beast to lie down thereto. It is confusion.
Right.
And my brothers and sisters, God is not the author of confusion.
Amen. Amen.
Now, what we've seen thus far is concerning things that are taboo. They're not to be amongst certainly God's people.
Amen.
And what grieves me is things are going on in even Baptist churches. In fact, sexual immorality has creeped in. Now tell me, therefore, if any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. We have a new life in Christ.
Amen.
And we should hate sin. Why are our young people getting caught up in these things? I'll tell you what, we as parents have a great responsibility, and grandparents. We need to make our children aware what God's will is.
Amen.
We've ceased off teaching the law. And my friend, how is a person going to see their real need?
Amen.
Except they see themselves before the law is undone.
Amen.
And need of a Savior. Let's look at the severe penalty that is attached to the violation of God's will concerning sex. Let's look at verse 24.
Amen.
Defile not yourselves in any of these things. Those things we just read. For in all these the nations are defiled, which I cast out from before you. When Israel come into Canaan land, the people in that land were guilty of all these things. And he cast them out.
Amen.
Now, think about it.
Amen.
Think about it where we're at today. What is God going to do to us as a nation? And the land is defiled. Therefore I do visit the iniquity thereof upon it, and the land itself vomiteth out her inhabitants. Ye shall therefore keep my statutes and my judgments, and shall not commit any of these abominations, neither shall any of your own nation, nor any stranger that sojourneth among you. Very plain, isn't it? We don't have to wonder about it. God hates it.
Amen.
And he'll spew us out. For all these abominations have the men of the land done which were before you, and the land is defiled, that the land spew not you out also when you defile it, as it spewed out the nations that were before you. For whosoever shall commit any of these abominations, even the souls that commit them shall be cut off from among the people. Therefore shall ye keep mine ordinance, that ye commit not any of these abominable customs which were committed before you, and that ye defile not yourselves therein. I am the Lord your God.
Amen.
Now, we might want to turn over to Leviticus chapter 20, and for sake of time, I won't read all of it, but I want us to just get the picture. Leviticus chapter 20 and verse 10. The man that committeth adultery with another man's wife, even he that committeth adultery with his neighbor's wife, the adulterer and the adulteress shall surely be put to death. There's a death penalty on it. And the man that lieth with his father's wife hath uncovered his father's nakedness, both of them shall surely be put to death. Their blood shall be upon them. And if a man lie with his daughter-in-law, both of them shall surely be put to death. They have wrought confusion. Their blood shall be upon them. And if you read on down through verse 20, you'll see that it really covers the scope. And there's a death penalty on all of it. Now, is that all of it? Hardly not. There's some other issues concerning sex, too. You're not to prostitute your daughter to cause her to become a whore. Leviticus chapter 19, verse 29. Do not prostitute thy daughter to cause her to be a whore, lest the land fall to whoredom and the land become full of wickedness. And I want to submit to you, you say, well, I wouldn't prostitute my daughter. Well, I tell you, if you let your daughter wear some of the clothes that is worn today, you're just helping her very much to be a prostitute. And let's turn back to Habakkuk. Chapter 2, in verse 15. Woe unto him that giveth his neighbor drink, that puttest thy bottle to him and maketh him drunken also, that thou mayest look upon their nakedness. In other words, don't make your neighbor drunk in order to look on his nakedness. And now we're going to really get down to nitty-gritty. Don't wear clothes of the other sex. Deuteronomy chapter 22 and verse 5. I have a new sword here, and it takes me a little time sometimes to get to where I want to get. I haven't gotten used to it yet. The woman shall not wear that which pertaineth unto a man. Neither shall a man put on a woman's garment. For all that do so are an abomination unto the Lord.
Amen.
And oh, you're become a legalist. No, this is God's word. And he says that it's an abomination. In other words, he hates it. He hated it then when it was written down, and he hates it now.
Amen.
God here has placed a divine distinction of the sexes. You think, you wonder why we have the confusion we have today? Which is kept sacred in civil life by clothing peculiar to each sex.
Right.
The design here was not to confuse the sexuality of the male and female.
Yeah.
To change this is disgusting and hated by God.
Yes.
Now, say, well, you haven't hit me yet. Well, let's go a little bit further. Let's go to Matthew chapter 5 and verse 8. You maybe think you're above sin? Well, let's look at this, chapter 5 and verse 28. But I say unto you, that whosoever looketh on a woman to lust after her hath committed adultery with her already in his heart. You see, it's a heart condition.
Yeah, right. Amen.
And what's the gate? The eye gate.
Yeah, right.
And men, when we look upon a woman with lust in our heart,
right,
we've committed adultery already.
Right.
You see, we certainly need the Holy Spirit living and working in our life and making us aware of that temptation that is there. And I'm 74 years old, and I'll tell you, there's places you don't dare look. Let's look at 1 Corinthians chapter 6. 1 Corinthians chapter 6. I feel the need of preaching these things today. I think there's a real need. 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 18. Flee fornication. I'll tell you what. You can't handle it. And I can't handle it.
Amen.
There's only one thing to do. When you're faced with that temptation, flee.
Amen.
Run. Get as far away as you can get.
Amen.
I think of Joseph. And tempted by Potiphar's wife. Oh, I mean, he got out of there. He realized it was a sin against God, and that's what it is.
Amen, brother.
There's only one thing to do, and that's flee.
Amen.
Right.
Flee fornication. Every sin that a man doeth is without the body.
Mm-hmm.
But he that committeth fornication sinneth against his own body. Now, things have really gotten bad today. There are some things I don't even like to talk about. But let's say this. How are you going to keep from sinning against your own body? Well, outside of marriage, and I'm saying this to you girls, and I'm saying this to you young boys, you keep your hands to home. In fact, you don't touch any genital area.
Amen.
Because if you do, you will take on some of these diseases, and there's some 30 of them. And it will affect you for the rest of your life.
Amen, brother.
And if you come to one that you want to marry and you have one of those, what are you going to tell them?
Amen.
1 Corinthians 7, in verse 2. Nevertheless, to avoid fornication, let every man have his own wife, and let every woman have her own husband.
Amen.
That's the place for your sexual enjoyment.
That's right.
No other place.
That's right. Amen, brother.
Amen.
Amen.
Turn with me to Romans 13. Going to hit on something else. Romans 13. And we want to look at verse 13. Let us walk honestly, as in the day, not in rioting and drunkenness, not in chambering and wantonness, not in strife and vending. We've got probably more people living together today than are married. The scriptures tell us not in chambering, not in going to bed with someone else, not living together unmarried. It's a work of darkness. It's not of light. And, of course, it's a direct command of God coming from the moral law. In Exodus chapter 20, verse 14, thou shalt not commit adultery. It's a direct command of God that we not engage outside of marriage.
Right.
Now, what's our response today to these issues? Turn with me to Colossians chapter 3 in verse 5. Colossians chapter 3 in verse 5. Mortify therefore your members which are upon earth. Fornication, uncleanness, inordinate affection, evil concupiscence and covetousness, which is idolatry. We need to mortify our members that are on earth. We need to put them to death. That's what it's talking about. We need to put them to death. Consider ourselves dead to those things. Not only that, in Ephesians chapter 5, it gives us some plain instructions. Ephesians chapter 5, in verse 3, but fornication and all cleanness and or covetousness, and that's what it is, it's covetousness. Well, I want it. I'd like to have it. That's what it is.
Amen.
It's covetousness. It's selfish. Let it not be once named among you as becoming saints. Oh, we ought to hate it. In fact, how can we stand it in the church? Oh, we need to put out the leaven. Neither filthiness or foolish talking or jesting, which are not convenient, but rather giving of thanks. For this you know, that no whoremonger or unclean person or covetous man who is an idolater hath any inheritance in the kingdom of Christ and of God. Let no man deceive you with vain words, for because of these things cometh the wrath of God upon the children of disobedience.
Amen.
You engage in those things, and the wrath of God is coming to you.
That's right.
Be ye not therefore partakers with them, for ye were sometimes darkness, Oh, I know all about that. Sometimes I was in darkness. I lived in those things. But oh, praise God for His wonderful grace to reach down and save a sinner like me. But now are ye light in the Lord, walk as children of light. For the fruit of the Spirit is in all goodness and righteousness and truth, proving what is acceptable unto the Lord. Amen. I'll tell you what, we need to get in our Bibles and see what is acceptable unto the Lord and begin to walk in it.
Amen.
1 Peter chapter 4. It's time for me to get done here. 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 1. For as much then as Christ has suffered for us in the flesh, arm yourselves likewise with the same mind. For he that has suffered in the flesh has ceased from sin, that he should no longer should live the rest of his time in the flesh to the lusts of men, but to the will of God. For the time past of our life may suffice us to have wrought the will of the Gentiles when we walked in lasciviousness, lust, excess of wine, revelings, banquetings, and abominable idolatries, wherein they think it strange that you run not with them to the same excess of riot, speaking evil of you. Brothers and sisters, we need to be different. What do people see in us? Or are we just living like the world and caught up in the things of the world? If you find yourself living after the world, there's one thing that I would recommend to you, that you repent and begin to walk in the ways of the Lord. May God bless us, and may we be children of light, and may we be as light and salt in this world in these last days, brother.
Amen, brother. Amen.